Would you say shock or would you say surprise?
I would say more surprise. I, you know, in preparing for the game, Doug Collins and I felt that the 76ers had a very, very good shot at winning one of the two at Staples, and we thought the layoff, in fact, we mentioned that right at the start of the telecast, we thought the layoff would be a factor, and you never know how a team comes out of a grueling, intensive, emotional seven-game series, if they're going to be spent by that, or they can build on that, and you know, they're the guys with the momentum, and that's what it turned out to be. And you could see the Lakers, I thought right from the start, were out of their rhythm, very, very rusty. They still nearly rallied, and this was a situation where they were not getting the usual type performance from Kobe Bryant, and Derek Fisher obviously went the other way. I would say more of a surprise because, you know, I mean, you have to be honest about it. You know, who would have expected Philadelphia to play like this right off the bat in L.A.?
The only thing I was a little bothered by all the post-game comments and articles is the Lakers lost Game 1 as opposed to what I feel. The Sixers won that game. They did what they had to do, and they played, I thought, harder and a little bit more unified.
Yes, don't you think that always happens? I guess it depends on point of view, and if you read the Los Angeles papers, that was the point of view, although credit was given to the 76ers. I mean, what heart that club has.
Oh.
And I think their defining moment, forget about the great victories that they have pulled out, but in Game 6 when they're down by as many as 33 points and they are able to come back, Larry Brown leaves the starters in, and they got it down to 10. I mean, most teams would have packed it in, you know, and just say, okay, well, you know, we'll take our chances back in Philadelphia for a seventh game. But I thought that showed a lot.
A lot of spin doctoring going on afterwards as well, where the Lakers are now relieved that they don't have to try to go undefeated during the postseason. I think that's nonsense. I think that, you know what, they were relishing this. They wanted to be recognized as the greatest postseason team of all time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that I mean, they handle everything extremely calm and very nice after the game, and I would think from their point of view that's, you know, that's the way Phil Jackson would like them to handle it. But I agree. I think that was a motivating factor to win number 20 in a row and then try to run the table, something that no one has ever done. And you know, I look back at last night, and what a different scenario than we saw when they faced San Antonio, Sacramento, and Portland. In the San Antonio series, I know Greg Popovich was particularly upset because he felt that his guys lost belief in themselves. And here's a Philadelphia team. They just would not go away. I mean, they just kept coming. And even when they were down by 13 early, I know the crowd had the brooms out. And, you know, I think that was a motivating factor. I know Allen Iverson mentioned that after the game. You know, they certainly heard the comments and saw the brooms, and the Sixers just did a terrific job, particularly off the bench. I mean, guys like Roger Bell, the last couple of games, I mean, he is showing that he can play in this league on a regular basis.
And you got Matt Geiger and Todd McCullough, who know they have to just give fouls against Shaq. And Shaq didn't have to make a big free throw during any of the other postseason games. Last night, all of a sudden, you got to make a free throw. So
that was a major factor. He goes 10 for 22 at the line. I know when things were not going well for the Lakers, that was a concern for the coaching. The fact that you could have Shaq on the line down the stretch with pressure on him, and there was a degree of pressure last night, and he did not hit the free throws. In fact, the shooting, the form was right back to where he was having the problems earlier in the season. He was so erratic, you know, sometimes it'd be a line drive, sometimes he'd shoot the rainbow. He was really, as well as he played, and obviously he had a sensational game in every other phase, but the free throws, when you get involved in close games, that can kill a team.
What I find amusing is the media loves to sit on this seesaw that all of a sudden we're up to say the Lakers, oh, they're going to go undefeated. They're the greatest postseason team in history. Now all of a sudden the seesaw comes down to the ground and we say, good God, they exposed some cracks in that Laker team. They're not that, you know, maybe could Philadelphia win this?
Yeah, that always happens, though. Don't you feel, whatever the sport, in a best of seven, you always, the pendulum swings back and forth, and usually I find in these in the NBA series, one game usually does not lead to the next. That might not have been true in the San Antonio series, where you had the feeling they felt after the game three thrashing by the Lakers that it was all over. But normally, and that was the case in the Milwaukee-Philadelphia series, one game did not necessarily dictate what would happen the next game. I would think it could be a different story in game two on Friday. Even just psychologically, you know, the 76ers, although they have great heart, I mean, deep down they know, okay, we won our game here, and they may not have the same sense of urgency coming out at Staples on Friday night.
Tyronn Lue seemed to lock up Iverson a little bit there in the end. You were there courtside. Iverson complained about Tyronn Lue holding him, clutching him for most of the game. Did you get that sense?
Well, I think there were a couple of instances where you could make an argument, but you could say that about almost every defensive matchup. And I think that I heard those statements. That was the first thing that Iverson said with kind of a laugh, and then he gave Lou credit. I thought Lou did a great job, you know, within the context of the rules. Yeah, every once in a while, and that happens at every position. There might be a little hold, a little grab, but it looked like for the first time Iverson kind of ran out of steam for a while when he had that drought, and then seemed to recapture it for the overtime session, and you know, found his shot because his shots were going short. They could not get the ball to him. I don't know if Tyronn perhaps picked it up by impersonating Allen during practice. I mean, he did it with that the protective sleeve this week at the Laker practice, playing the role of Allen Iverson. He said he would have put the tattoos on, but he didn't want to disrespect Allen. But this is a kid who has a lot of value now. I mean, he sat out most of last year. He was on the injured list, and I know it was a decision that the Lakers had to make between Mike Penberthy and J.R. Ryder and Lou, and I think Phil Jack needed another backup point guard, in particular with the prospect of Iverson and the Sixers, you know, coming up down the road. And it was a pretty good call personnel-wise.
Lakers up 5 in overtime. Did you think to yourself, okay, this is it? Lakers going to win this game?
Yes. It was about 2.5 minutes remaining in the overtime. Lakers have the ball. I didn't see. I mean, Doug and I were, I can recall during a timeout saying, well, it was, you know, what a wonderful effort it was by the 76ers, but this one looks to be over. But what happened, it wasn't a normal game for Kobe Bryant. In the San Antonio series, Dan, you recall, he had carte blanche to drive the lane. They cut out the layups primarily because of the presence of Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah.
So that messed up his game. So it was basically jump shots. He was rusty, just was not on, even in handling the ball. I think the ball pressure bothered the 76ers. It rather bothered the Lakers. It bothered the Sixers also when Lakers put the pressure on every once in a while. But what Larry Brown did reminded me of what Phil Jackson used to do with the Bulls. They go to that flash pressure every once in a while, and it kind of caught the Lakers by surprise. And they had they were made to work to bring the ball up, and it changed the whole complexion of the game because they did not have the whole shot clock to work with, and then they would, you know, find desperation shots. They were fortunate because Shaq was able, basically most of his scores were dunks, you know, in close, putbacks, where he could just power his way. But for the most part, they were taken out of the game by the defense of the Sixers.